William, I'm sure looking forward to that message on spiritual grace that God's given you in the Holy Spirit in the area of grace. I'm looking forward to that. I think about it almost every week, what you was sharing there, or you were sharing about it. I'm going to talk to you tonight about qualifications to be a Levite, since we're looking toward the being a part of the Levitical priesthood, which the Lord's already made us that in the New Testament. We're a royal priesthood. And so we just want to see. I do want this after Easter Sunday, I want to share with you the four levels of God's glory, because it helps you see you're determining the glory level. We all are. We're determining what's going on in our life. And we're determining that by the responsibility that I have to bring the glory of God. And so I can live with level one, and level one is pretty weak. It's just the presence of God, it's general presence of God. Then you move on into various levels of the presence of God, which is really interesting to me, because I just love to think about God's moving me from glory to glory. And I may see myself on one level of glory, and I know I've got to get to another level. And so if I can understand those levels, sometimes it helps me. But I want to talk to you tonight about the qualifications. I want to talk to you about the spiritual qualifications of being a part of the Levitical priesthood, people that bring the presence of God into situations. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2 is kind of our jumping off verses for it now. It says, "Then he commanded no one except the Levites." In other words, it's a command of the Lord. Can we follow it on scriptures there tonight? Lee, is anybody over there with you? Or are you handling the whole nest by yourself? All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2 simply says, "Then he commanded." This is the command of the Lord. "No one except the Levites may carry the ark of God forever." God said, forever. So that means that when the New Testament, I understand that I am, God offers me this wonderful opportunity to be a part of a priesthood, a nation of priests. In fact, that's what a New Testament believer is supposed to be, a part of a nation of priests, and that are able to carry the presence of God. And able not only to carry the presence of God, but we're able to deal on the altar, or we're able to deal at the throne about God's judgments and about God's power and about God's declarations. Okay? Or I said, "Then he commanded, no one except the Levites may carry the ark of God. The Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to serve him forever." So God's chosen the Levites to carry his presence forever. Now, go to that next slide just real quick. You got it? And there's that's the picture of the Old Testament. And that's, God wants us to see that. And with great detail, this picture is given in many, many scriptures, all through, especially under the law. Because God's what he's wanting me to know, there's a responsibility that I have. Everybody say, strong soldiers. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It takes God's strength to be able to carry the presence of God, especially when the presence of God moves into the Shekinah levels of glory. And that's the word that it uses. It's heavy. It's weight. When the presence of God gets heavy, there's a big responsibility. But I tell you, the Shekinah glory, it what moves everything miraculous. I told you this morning that it was the Shekinah glory. They call shoes never to wear out for 40 years. 40 years, the children of Israel wore the same shoes and they never wore out. And for 40 years, they were fed by God. Miraculous provision. Miracles happen when you get to that level. But this is the highest level of God's glory. And it takes requirement in our lives to carry the first level of God's glory. But it certainly takes these requirements to be able to carry out this level of glory. And it takes a unity. Everybody say a unity. You got to get away from talking about people. You've got to quit. The Bible says that if you're caused divisions, it's my job to mark you. I don't like that job. The Bible says, mark the man that caused divisions. If you're talking about people, it's my job to mark you because you can't be used to bring God's presence into God's people. And that's a hard thing. That's a New Testament requirement that God puts on pastors and leadership. It's people that cause division can never, ever carry the presence of God. What that means is that's why we have weak altars. Because the altars are weak. People don't expect miracles. It's really usually because we're the wrong ones here. We are. There's requirements. There's requirements for toting that level of glory. And I tell you what, I've just come, you know, when Victory, I remember one time the Victory was running 432 people. I remember the number. We just had 432 people on that given Sunday. We was out there in the old building. We was running people on top of people. And I remember God asked me the question. He said, Jerry, how many people do you have? And I told the Lord, I said, God, we have 432. And I wasn't proud of that since I was so thankful to the Lord. God spoke to my heart. He said, Jerry, you only have three. He said, there's only three that's there by my spirit. And you know what God told me to do there? God told me to go back. He said, Jerry, if you'll go back and concentrate on the three, I'll do something miraculous. Now, that was several years ago, so I would pray that we would have more than three now. But the situation is, the reason we're not believing for miracles, you know, we just usually pray for people. We're not expecting God to do anything. We're not expecting the manifestation of God's glory. Because there are requirements to carry His presence. And one of the major requirements is unity. Togetherness, walking together, one with the other, not being split and divided and not having self-opinions. That's why that the job of the priest was to minister to the Lord. Because the ministry to the Lord gave God's thoughts. It's what God thought about the thing. And I'll be honest with you, it's not too important what we think. What we think usually stops God's glory from manifesting through our lives. What we think is come to the place, the first place that the priest is to surrender. First place that I minister to God is to surrender myself, surrender my thoughts, surrender my judgments, surrender what I think about things, surrender what I think about people. I cannot believe this. I heard this week that someone had made this judgment. Out of a dear, precious sister that's part of this body. They had made the judgment. They said, God said that she's a witch. And she's what's causing the Abels family to have problems. I want you to know, that's a lie. Amen. And that's, I want you to know, that's sacrilegious. To say that God's Spirit is saying something when it's not, that's sacrilegious. That's not true. You've never dealt with witches, evidently. We have a history of that. The Victory that we have now is nothing like the Victory was in years ago. Victory years ago, we dealt with those. There was literally covens of witches in Camden at those points. Back when Camden was running, there was even covens of warlocks in Camden. I've had warlocks. I had businessmen come to my house confessing that they were warlocks with a group in Camden asking for help. I've had those that were used in. I've had one young lady that was used in satanic rituals. That was used in satanic rituals ever since she was about really 2 months old, and she lived with me. We were determined that she was going to be free. I've had the witches. I mean, I'm not afraid of that kind of stuff. The curse causers cannot come unless I give a cause. I remember years ago dealing with people that were in demonic worship. Not just witchcraft, but demonic worship. I've had people that dealt in demonic worship. I've had them grab me and expect me and just hold me and sit there with that demonic grin. Expect me to feel the power of the demons that was inside them. And I almost started laughing. Because, man, you don't have to be afraid of that kind of stuff. When we began to move against witchcraft at one point in this church, we sent all the corners of our county prayer teams declaring the power of God that the enemy could no longer come. Witches got stirred up in this town at that time. There were, as at that time, I'm not aware of any active ones at this time, but that time I was very active in covenants of witches and warlocks. And in fact, in Camden, they had what they call white witchcraft and black witchcraft. One was extremely evil, and one was they considered not so evil. But I've had them get so mad at me to where they threatened to burn my house down, Larry. They did. There was a witch one night that got saved in one of my brother's church in a nearby town. And when that witch got saved that night, they said, this night they planned to burn Pastor Abel's house down. Now, my kids were at home. I was in Little Rock. But I'm not scared of that kind of stuff.
Amen.
I'm not scared of the devil. We only have to fear God. Man, if we're walking where God told us to walk, we don't have to fear the devil. Amen. And so I just want you to know that that kind of stuff, you got to understand that that was a lie. Now, I don't know who said that, but if you said that, you need to repent and get off of that crazy stuff. Get on a heart that loves God and reaching forth and serving God and living for God and forget about crazy stuff. If crazy stuff arises, you just deal with it. And so, and every once in a while, the devil does. I've had people that were in demonic cults give me 3 weeks to live, they say. That happened twice. They told me I would die within when they got their thing together. Well, I'm still alive. One thing, the first time that happened, I was counting days. I've been involved. We used to, when Victory was really on the up Grove, you remember this, there was a lot of demonic things that were going on. Had a group come in our church one time. Now, this is years ago, and I can't even call a name because you have no idea what that person wasn't. It was a family came to church, and they was Gruenwald. Their name was Gruenwald. Now, nobody here, I can look around, nobody here remembers that, possibly Shirley. The Gruenwalds came into the church, and when they came into the church, I knew they was operating under a demonic activity. One thing is, they thought everything I did was right. I knew they had to be screwed up by that one. I mean, they were into this that just telling me how good I was, how great I was. Oh, that's such a great message. Oh, that was so good. Oh, yes, flattery. Yeah, that's exactly what it was flattery. But seeing in the spirit, what I did was I looked and in the spirit, he had a smiling face. He was always putting on that he was a smiling face. But what I saw was the Grim Reaper. I could see that demon. I could see that. I told you at times you can see things in the spirit. I could see that. Not only did I see that, but Elaine saw that too at another time. We didn't even realize that until we finally got together. And finally that brother, he came in. He was soliciting people in our church. And at that point, now I would deal with it totally different. At that time, I just kept trying to pray it out. And so, but God is so good. I remember we had dealt with that. He solicited people. And what he was a militant. He was at the militant where they'd taken the guns and take over, you know. There was those groups that was coming out of Mexico, and they was wanting to take guns and take over. And so... I did not know how to rid them out of the church without uprooting real wheat. It's hard. Tares. The Bible says you have to let tares alone. Because it said if you try to uproot tares, you uproot the real wheat. And you know the difference in a tare and a wheat? You know how you tell the difference in a tare and a wheat? You really can't. Until it opens. When it opens, a wheat is full of grain. A tare is empty. Nothing. And so you have to depend on God making the church a spiritual church. And for God keeping the church together. Well, at that point, I didn't know. I mean, you can't uproot tares because you pull up the wheat, the Bible says. But what God says, He sends angels. Somebody say, He sends angels. And He gathers to tares together. I can't gather tares because I can't. But God knows, be careful when you start gathering. Watch who you're gathering with. Watch who you're talking with. Watch who you're buddying up with. Because we don't have nothing to do with that. God does that. He protects His church like that. And the Bible says He sends angels and He gathers the tares into a bundle. He tells me not to do anything with the tare. But God says, I will send angels and I will gather the tares together and I'll bundle them together and burn them together, is what it says. That the true wheat then can come forth. And so the Gruen was, I mean, they was gathering people. I mean, and before I knew it, now this is a person that was extremely smart, extremely educated. The whole family was, they was extremely, and knew I couldn't find out anything on the outside. But all of a sudden they found out, a lot of people see me as meek and they think that I'm easily moved, but I'm real stubborn spiritually too. And I just refuse to move away from what the Spirit of God is doing. And so they flattered me for a long period of time, and I knew that wasn't right. I mean, I think I may hit a good one every once in a while, but not all the time. So I knew that wasn't right. And so then when I saw this face on him, I knew something really bad was up. And then he continued gathering people, and he would gather them and gather them for the little groups to get together. I mean, it came down to the point to literally, they took one of our families in the church and literally burned almost every stick of furniture they had to get the demons out of the furniture. That's crazy. But come to find out, there was a militant group and they had planned, they had already purchased a base in the area and they were gathering people to move people into that area to be a military type group of takeover. Because they believe that's what God wanted. But it was interesting. So I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to deal with them. I didn't. I got up on one Sunday morning and I was praying. And God said, go in the pulpit and say this one line. Had nothing to do with them. The line, the words that God told me to say was about five words. The words that God told me, He said, just say it in the midst of what everything else I was saying. And it had nothing to do with them. It had no pointing to nobody. I mean, nothing. It was about as harmless of words. But I tell you what, God knows how to fight battles. And He just fights battles differently. And so I walked into the pulpit that Sunday. And I said those five words that God told me to say. Five or six, whatever. It was just one little line that God told me to say. I said those words that He said. There was an immediate exit. It did something. You could feel the Spirit. Wow, hit it like that. Then come to find out when they moved, they had dolls of me. And had pins stuck in to those. That's crazy stuff. If you fear that kind of stuff, that stuff can be real. But if you understand, you don't have to fear the devil. And you don't have to fear anything that he's got. All you have to do is fear God. Amen. And keep walking forth with the Lord. Amen? And so, I got in that, I guess, I was talking about that. Because the Spirit of God wants to bring the presence. But if you get in all that weird junk, and if you start saying things are God when it's not God, and if you start making judgments, the Bible tells you not to judge. And when you start making rash judgments, the Bible calls it rash judgments, you will never be able to carry the presence of God until that changes, until repentance and that changes. So if you want to bring the presence of God into you, there's certain responsibilities that you have to make a decision. And so you're going to have to learn to walk underneath that responsibility that God puts in you. That He puts on us all to be part of the great priesthood. Everybody say the great priesthood. To bring His presence. What I started off that little roundabout way was to say this. It'd be better to have three people believe in God around you that are truly right with God and truly walked in the way that God told them to walk in the presence of God than have 1,000 around you that played games with God. Amen. And what I'm looking for at this season, I went toward this season, started toward this season 3 years ago. But we're in this season. I'm looking for a few good men and women. Because God can do something miraculous with a few. I'm looking for a few that will allow their lives to be touched and cleaned up by God. And where they will have the sense of responsibility, the sense of unity, the sense of strength, the sense of power. You notice the clothes they're wearing. That is linen. They were not allowed, especially when it came to entering into the presence of God, they were not allowed to have one drop of sweat. Nothing could be done in the flesh. Everything had to be done in the Spirit. And I'm praying that out of this call that we're making, that God is going to rally. And sometimes it's the most insignificant, we would think, person that says, you know, God, I want to be that person. And that will get under the authority of God and the authority of the house. There's an authority that God is establishing. As established at this place. You never have authority until you're first under authority. And you never have any greater authority. Your authority over the demonic world is in direct relationship to the authority that you walk with in life under. Most people can't handle that. Because most people cannot walk in one door and be a servant and walk in the next door and be a leader. But a leader has to be able to do that. Leaders get the sense that they're so smart that they're needed in leadership all the time. None of us are that. None of us are that. We have to learn we're in one door. We're a humble lamb ready to be led to the slaughter. And we step across in the very next room where the lion of the tribe of Judah roaring forth the declarations and the authority of God. And God has to be able to trust you to do that. God has to be able to trust you that you will be sensitive to Him and sensitive to His reins. That when He taps you on the shoulder and begins to pull you back and draw you back and so. So there's responsibilities. I got just about 13 minutes. Let me quickly go through this. We have a responsibility. Exodus chapter 32, 26. It tells you one of the first responsibilities. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whosoever is on the Lord's side. So you have to make a decision. Number one, you have to make a decision that I'm going to make stands with the right, even if it's not popular, and even if it breaks friendships, even if it breaks my group, I just must make a stand. And sometimes, men, you have to make that in your house. Sometimes, men, you have to make that in your house. Because we can say no difference in male and female, and with God there's nothing. But the Bible says that the man always has to walk, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. She is strategically inspirational, the wife is. But because she has connections, God built her to be connected spiritually. Many times the enemy tries to take advantage of those entrances. And because of that, the man, a lot of times, has to make a stand. And you have to say something like, darling, I love you with all of my heart. The only one I love more is Jesus. But Jesus is going to be head of this house. And we're not going to do that or act like that or participate in that. A man has to make that stand. And a lot of times, the woman, she's going to be sensitive to the Spirit, and she will have to make a stand. So if you're not comfortable doing it, if you're not comfortable at times standing along and making stands, then you'll never be able to carry the presence of God. You've got to be comfortable doing the right thing, even if the right thing upsets the apple cart. And you've got to be willing to do that. And so, in a man, I can always tell when there's trouble in authority in a home. As a pastor, I can always tell that. Because I always have trouble with that man in authority. Because if that man is not being honored in his home as an authority, that need for to be the authority is going to come out somewhere in him, and it will come out in the wrong places. So I can always usually tell that when the wife is operating under Jezebel's spirit. Because the man, he's trying to find a place to live his manhood. And so he'll say cruel things to me. Or he'll say something hard to somebody else. But I know all the time it's what it is. His home's out of order. And as long as his home's out of order, he's going to be wrong. So sometimes you just have to say, as far as me and my house, honey, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're going to live for God. We're not going to allow gossiping here. We're not going to have fried pasta for Sunday dinner. To walk together in unity, it's go back to our little picture if you would. It takes a strong sense, a willingness. One of the greatest qualities, I believe, to be a Levite is loyalty. And that's something that's few and far between now. To find somebody that is loyal. To find somebody that's not going to stab you in the back, not going to cut you to ribbons, because people that do, they will never ever tote the presence. That's why I say it's better to have three people gathered around you. That's why God told me when the church was running 432, God said, Jerry, you only have three. You only have three that's there by my spirit. It's better to have three with you that really have yoked themselves under the yoke of God than have 1,000 with you playing games. And the Lord makes sure that we're tested. God tests you. God will test you how loyal you are to me and how loyal I am to you. God will test us. God will test. Because agreement to come together in unity is a unique thing. Agreement is not necessarily unity. And agreement usually has little bit to do with submission and authority. Because as long as you agree, you don't need to submit to anybody. But it's in those points that you may disagree that you come to a saying and say, but God, I love you more than anything. I love you more than me proving that I'm right. I choose unity. Amen. And I'll tell you, there's not very many people that can walk that. I mean, we all defend our own little things, get in our own little corners, defend our own little... And that's not that. It's not walking together in the presence of God. So, Exodus chapter 32 and 29, it says, you have been set apart. So, if you're going to carry the presence of God, got 7 minutes, let me quickly bring this to a close. If you're going to carry the presence of God, you've got to be willing for God to set you apart. You're going to be different. You're not going to be like your buddies. You've got to be willing for God to set you apart. Unless you let God set you apart, make you special, then you'll never ever really carry the presence of God into anywhere. Because the first requirement was that they had to be willing to be set apart. Number one was to be able to make a stand. The next one was to be able to be set apart. But that's why Luke chapter 14 says it. The second thing about being part of the Levitical priesthood, the second thing is you have to be able to put God first. You have to be willing to put God first. Notice what it said in Exodus chapter 32, 29. It said, then Moses told the Levites, today you have ordained yourselves. You've ordained yourselves. Because they put God first. They put God first before everybody. Everything. They put God before their children. They put God before their mates. Lane and I have this strong understanding that she is second and she will always be second in my life. I also have that understanding with her. I know that I'll always be fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth. No, but we have that strong understanding that God always has to be first in our life. And we're to honor that in each other. And to honor that God is first. The Bible says you've ordained yourselves. The way you ordain yourself, somebody said, how can I get into the ministry? Love God first. Love God first. And you ordain yourself. You ordain yourself in the ministry. Second thing, must be able to make a stand. Next thing is, you have to live close. You can't live far out away from the presence of God and be responsible to carry the presence of God. You know, I've been studying the Levitical priesthood and been studying the tabernacle for about 3 or 4 years extensively. It's been a passion of mine. I finally went to the Lord and said, where do the Levites live? Because see, it's real important the position that all the other camps were around the presence of God. Judah was on the east. I mean, every person, every camp with its responsibilities and duties live in a certain direction of the presence of God. I said, Lord, where did the Levites live? Do you know where the Levites lived? All around it. Their tents were all around it. Because when the presence of God was moving, you could always tell a Levite. When the presence of God was moving, everybody else was running to get their stuff. The Levites were running to get God's stuff.
Amen.
Do you understand? You could easily tell a Levite. When things begin to move, and people begin to protect themselves, you're not a Levite. But when things begin to move, the reason the Levites lived so close, because when the cloud moved, they had to get God's stuff quick because they had to be the first ones out with the presence of God. You had to live close. That means you won't live in the camp like others. That means that sometime when others are having their big parties, you can't participate. God's got you living too close. And you value the closeness with God as the greatest thing on earth. You would give 1 minute in His presence for 20 years in the presence of all others. A Levite. Let's cross. Oh, 2 minutes. Let's see if we have time for the last one. And this is the one that most people can't stand. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 3, he's talking about the Levites, yet there shall be a space between you. There's a space. If you have a heart to be a Levite, you're going to find it difficult being really close, having a lot of close buddies. Because there's a space that God holds. There will always be a space, and you can't understand it. Others will get together and they'll laugh at things that have no meaning to you. Others will be talking about things and your conscience will be bothering you. You always be living this separated space, this space that God put you in. See what it is? As God moves you out of their camps, God moves you closer to His camp. Some people can't do that. Some people have to have the approval of people. And you can't live without the approval of people. You will never carry the presence of God into hard situations, having to have the approval of people in your life. Because a Levite has to be willing to live alone. Now that doesn't mean we don't desire people's approval. If you're a Levite, you desire, you want to please everybody. The heart, the humility in your heart, you want to please. But God puts a space. And you try to go over that space, but that space is put there by God. It's in God's requirements to be a Levite. There has to be a space between you and the other company. Has to be such a space. So you have to be willing a lot of times to live alone and be happy with alone, even in the midst of a lot of people. Because God will be dealing with you. You will be in a family gathering, or you will be around a table, or you will be at church, and everyone else will be. But in your heart, God is dealing. You're sensing the move, see. You're sensing the Spirit of God that's fixing to move something. And that's the most important thing to you. And even though you'll be gathered with a lot of people, there's a sense of being alone. I love it. God said, I don't have to give you an inheritance. Said, if you're a Levite, I'll be your inheritance. God said, I'll be your inheritance. He said, you will be my special ones. So when God wants to prop his feet up and spend a little time, the Levites waits for that moment. The Levite waits for that moment. And he may be surrounded by 100 people, but he's listening to be that special treasure of God. Wow. So it takes, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord, to carry the presence of God. And we're all involved in this in different levels and different ways, Lord, I know. There's some here in this church that's already crossed over many of the levels that I've mentioned. And then there's some here tonight that's just beginning on this wonderful journey with you. And then there's some, Lord, that this seems to be 1,000 miles away. But God, to be your special treasure, is worth anything. You will be our inheritance. You will be our inheritance. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God as my inheritance. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? I'd rather have God as my inheritance. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. I love you so much. God bless you.